Well, good morning. How you doing? We had a late, late last night here, I guess. For those that were here, we had, I heard there was around 150 is what I heard. That sounds like a good bunch. So I guess I heard we had a herd. Oh, well. Anyway. For those that put out your trunks and decorated your trunks and gave out candy, it was a great thing. Thank you. And for us that ate the candy, no. Well, I learned one thing last night when I was at my place giving out candy there. Somebody come up and asked me a question, and I gave them an answer, and they didn't understand me. Or getting ready to give out candy. I guess I was decorating the trunk. Gloria, she said, is there anything that needs done? Well, I don't know anything that needs done. But we had some hot dog forks, and I thought, you know, we use our hot dog forks. Sometimes we, you know, just put them away, and then we burn them over the fire to get them ready for the next hot dog. You know, why wash them? Well, anyway, I thought there might be some people, and Gloria being one of them, that might have, you know, an offense to not having a clean fork, you know. So I said, well, there are those hot dog forks over there. You might wash them up. She said, what? I said, there are those hot dogs fork over there. You might wash them up. And she couldn't understand a word I was. She goes, what are you trying to say? And then my wife interpreted for him and said, wash, wash. You wash. She'd never heard. So we're here. I guess I can understand since we're here at the worship service, right? We're here at the worship service this morning. She probably thinks I mean before we go out to the sink. But no, bless her heart. I do sometimes have some words that my wife says I say different, right? She loves it when I give her flares. Anyway, next week we'll be introducing those candidates that will be running for the offices of the church, and then the following week we'll be voting on that. Also, the 13th is when the shoeboxes will be due, and so if you're preparing a shoebox for the Samaritan's Purse, get that ready, and then in your $10 shipping cost for that, if you would, so we can have that ready to give to Donna to take to the people that take care of that. I want to say something about our cake out there this morning. We do want you to stay and have cake after church. Everett bought this cake for his mother-in-law, Kathleen Woollett, but she is unable to be with us this morning. She's ill. So we all wish her a happy birthday anyway. Tell her, happy birthday, Kathleen. Everybody stand. Just give her an applause. He can tell you. Yeah. So let her know. And I'm also supposed to let Al Lee know the first piece of cake is getting cut and given to Kathleen. So that, anyway. We'll still be doing the cake in honor of Kathleen's birthday. She is turning 95. So, ladies' prayer meeting on Tuesday morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, and then crop and craft. Oh, two things: Secret Sister. If you want to be a part of that Secret Sister, where you give gifts and remember birthdays and anniversaries and stuff, the applications are out in the basket where the gifts are left. It's something fun the women do. It's not necessary, and there's really the only thing secret about it is the person you give the gift to doesn't know who it's coming from. So it's kind of like, oh, you know, but you give all of your information so they know your birthday and everything. But it's fun, something fun the women have done around here for some time, and so you might want to be a part of that. The other thing is if you want to help with, what is it, crop and craft, setting up. No, not setting up. What am I doing? Help carrying in things on Friday morning. Friday morning from what time to what time?
9
at 9 a.m. to help carry the ladies. The ladies help carry the ladies. Help carry the ladies. They bring, now these women, they come in here and they the sanctuary is turned into like a sweatshop sewing machine like thing, I don't know. And they bring in all kinds of stuff. I mean, they got buckets and barrels and baskets, and so we help them carry their stuff to the table they'll be working at. So if you want to be a part of that on Saturday and then on Friday morning and then Saturday as they leave, talk to Kathy about that. So, all right, well, we are glad you're here, and I'll shut up.
Right, brother, we enjoy it. Would you stand with me this morning as we sing? Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Read together, shall we? Psalm 47, 1 to 2. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Mountains bow down and the seas will roar.
without the instrument, shall we, this morning?
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Father, this morning, we accept your love for us. That's why we're here. You've asked us not to just take your love and use it to ourselves, but to spread it, Lord. We need to use the love that you've given us and you've shown us, the grace that you've shown us in each one of our own lives, Lord, to reach out to those that need it. Lord, we just praise you for what you're going to do this morning. In Jesus' name.
Well, good morning, everyone. Been a good week, but it's been a rough week, too, hasn't it? And Linda had loss of her son, and then Pete and Sandy, I think it was their nephew. And then Ann Cordell. You know, Larry Cordell passed away. I don't know if you heard that or not, but he passed away Friday evening. So a lot of those things, we hope that they're all in glory, right? Hope we have is to see him again someday. It's not a goodbye. It's a see you later. And we're all facing that sometime. We don't know when, but be prepared, right? That's the thing. Be ready. Make sure you're right with the Lord. And if it happens, it happens. We can't control when it's going to happen, but we know that God's in charge of all those things. Do we have any praises or prayer requests this morning?
I had asked for prayer last week for my cousin's daughter that's been involved in human trafficking, and I praise God because the feds have her and she is safe. So now the healing begins. The other woman is still fighting for her life in the hospital, but she's under 24-hour surveillance. We don't know if she will have to enter witness protection. The corruption goes way deeper than any of us. We had no idea. It involves judges, attorneys, and officers, and it's right here in Columbus. So, but we're just thankful she's alive, she's here, the journey, you know, she's safe, and the healing can start. So we praise God for that. And then I also wanted to thank you. Our youngest son had come with us last night, and he hadn't been in church for years, and I just want to thank all of you because he felt very welcomed. And sometimes, you know, when people look different than us, you know, we cast them to the side. And I want to thank human pastor because, you know, he's covered in tattoos. And sometimes when people look different from us, we don't embrace them. And he felt very embraced and just appreciated that. In fact, he's going to church today with his brother. So that's like a first time. I mean, I just thank God. So thank you for being, you know, embracing, you know, my kiddos and being warm and welcoming and loving. And I don't take those things lightly, and we shouldn't. And I just thank God.
I didn't know if you want to say hi or if you wanted to say something.
Want to mention a little bit about John Henry, the young kid. Young shows where I am because he's almost 30. That feels bad to me. But I talked to his dad again this week, and I think you recall some of our previous comments about him. I said the last big thing he had was the mental thing, that he had lingering anxiety, depression, and so forth. They sort of cut the prime of life at 27 or 28, and then watching all that recover. And he still was shaky enough emotionally that they had sort of a semi-suicide watch over him.
I think I mentioned that one time he tried to climb out of bed after
16 surgeries and tried to climb out. So he's down to his last phase of rehab now. Father reported to me that his attitude has changed.
I'll get through this. It's changed so dramatically that he said no longer is he depressed. He says he's happy. Hearing this for 4 months, that suddenly the attitude just flipped. And I think you and I, who have come up on the Christian faith, know that's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he doesn't ask us, he doesn't tell us, he just does it.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks again for bringing us here. Thanks for the time we had last night with all the kids and the people that helped, and we're able to make a good impression and to be able to help the kids have a nice trunk and treat, that it wasn't evil witches and demons and skeletons and things like that. It was just kids having fun, and for the hayride and the food and all the things that happened, trunks and everything else that happened, that we were able to be part of the community. Father, be through his requests this morning. This young man has been gone through healing, with all the broken bones he's had and all the things that have happened, that you're bringing him to a point of joy in his life through you. And I think the ones you mentioned that have had losses this week, for Linda and Sandy, Lord, and Ann, and for those who are facing surgeries, Lord, for Trisha's surgery that came through, and pray the recovery goes quickly, and for Tina's surgery coming up, and for Lois, and just the different ones, Lord, that we think of this morning, that Donna and Dee and Ray and Bernice, and just the other ones, Lord, that are out there, that Fran, and different ones that we think of this morning, Lord, that are part of our congregation that may not always be able to make it here, but they're here with us in spirit anyway, and sometimes through Zoom and things like that. But we just pray for all those out there, the different needs, Lord, for family situations that are happening, for Letizia, Lord, with her shoulder, for that to heal, and Stephanie, and all the different ones, Lord, that are dealing with different things. So, Lord, you know each and every one, and we could mention by name, but it would just take a long time to get through all of them. So we just trust them all to you this morning. Lord, ask you to be with us this morning as we worship together, as we learn from your word together, and then as we go out to serve, that you'll continue to use us, be with us on Halloween night, that we can be witnesses, those who are out there, those who need to hear your word. We just thank you for Kim's son that was here, both sons that were here, and for Jesse and for the kids, and thanks for those, and all the other little kids that showed up. Thanks for the safety. Nobody got hurt. It was just a great time, and for the disc golf afterwards and things that we had, and we just give you the praise for that. Those who are willing to fill in this morning, Lord, for ones who are missing, and just thanks for your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand in cleansing fire. sin will lose its mortal reign. Make me free.
He is holy, isn't he? Well, I was looking this week at some different ideas and things and found something talking about the seven last words of Christ and what we can learn from those last words on the cross that he had. You ever heard somebody say something that you thought you could learn from? A lot of times people want to say, you know, you can't teach me anything, right? You can teach an old dog new tricks if you use the right method, can't you? Same with people as well. But here are some proverbs and wise sayings from different countries. I found it in dictionary.com. And they're pretty wise words if you listen to them. Maybe you've heard them before, maybe you can use them somewhere. The poor carpenter blames his tools. What does that mean? That means take ownership of your mistakes instead of finding blame elsewhere. Not the tool's fault. You're the one using it. It's yours. When you want to make an omelet, you need to break a few eggs. The meaning of that is reaching a goal requires sacrifice. It's not always easy to reach your goal. Sometimes you got to do things you don't want to do to get there. You may have to get up early, stay up late, exercise, eat this or not eat that, whatever it may be. Don't spend money on this, things like that. So, these are African proverbs, these two are. They're different countries or continents or areas. Only a fool tests the depth of a river with both feet. It says, consider the consequences before making a decision. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? You don't jump in with both feet, because if you're in there and stuck, you can't get out. It's too deep. The best way to eat an elephant is to cut him up into pieces, which means solve a problem by handling it a little bit at a time. Don't try to conquer the whole thing at once. Just take a little bit at a time and go through the problems and try to get through those. These are from Asia. Dig the well before you are thirsty. It means anticipate your needs before you need something. This is a good one. We can all relate to this. Well, most of us, kids probably can't. Some of us that are older than 20. The old horse in the stable still yearns to run. That means those who are older still have things they'd like to accomplish. It's got a few more. These are from Latin America. Both reputation and money are earned slowly and lost quickly. It means it takes a long time to build your reputation and earn money, but not very long to lose either one. Since we cannot get what we like, let us like what we can get. It means appreciate what you have, even if it's not very much. These are Arabic proverbs. An army of sheep led by a lion would defeat an army of lions led by a sheep. Leadership's the most important factor in success. Ask your purse what you can buy. It means don't spend money you don't have. Now we just pull out the credit card. Bing, here's money, 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 right? Until the bill comes. If you look in your purse or your wallet and like, nope, not buying that today. Makes a lot of sense. Here's a good one. I like this one. Secrets are like birds. When they leave your hand, they take flight. It means you can't control who knows a secret after you've told it to somebody. You're like, this is a secret. You're like, how did all those 10 people find out? It was a secret. The fruit of timidity is neither gain nor loss. If you don't stand up for what you believe in, nothing will change. I got a few more. I got a couple Jewish ones, and I got a Russian, some Russian one, one Russian one. Jewish proverbs. If charity costs nothing, everyone would be a philanthropist. Means helping others take sacrifice. You must endure the bad if you want to live to see the good. Living through hardship is part of life. And then two Russian proverbs. Better to stumble than make a slip of the tongue. Meaning saying something wrong can be more painful than taking a bad step. Because once you say it, you can't take it back, can you? I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Well, you already said it. Don't bring your rules to another person's monastery. It means respect other people's cultures. Then the last one, don't teach a wise person. Don't give advice to a person or people who are more experienced than you are. Interesting, isn't it? All these different things. Well, when Jesus was on the cross, he had seven sayings that we're going to go through this morning and see if we can learn something from them. First thing he said was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. This is usually interpreted as Jesus' prayer of forgiveness for the Roman soldiers who crucified him and those who were involved in his crucifixion. So that's what we first think of when we see this. But looking at a message from Kerry Haynes, he says, imagine what needed to be forgiven. The night before, Jesus was betrayed by one of his own, arrested, tried illegally 6 times under the cover of darkness. In the morning, the soldiers whipped him to an inch of his life with a cat of nine tails that cut into his flesh. They forced a crown of thorns onto his scalp, made him carry a heavy crossbeam out of the city to a place called Golgotha or Calvary, the place of the skull. After his human strength gave out, the soldiers drafted an innocent bystander named Simon to finish the journey. At Calvary, the soldiers nailed him hand and foot to the cross, where a person being crucified died slowly from asphyxiation. Talked about this years ago, what happens when you're hanging on the cross, your organs start to sag, and eventually start to crush your lungs and you can't breathe. If they want that to happen quicker, they break your legs, but they didn't do it for Christ. Said it could take hours or even days unless soldiers broke your legs so they could no longer support you and you couldn't breathe. The Romans had perfected the ultimate torture machine, and it was brutal. They killed thousands of people in this way. You would think Jesus, facing this pain and agony, would cry out in despair. You would think maybe he would be angry. But his first words were a prayer of forgiveness. Think about that. Hanging on the cross, nailed through hands and feet, beaten, weak. He could have been self-centered, but he chose to be other-centered, and he said, forgive them. So we ask, who is all them? Who does them mean? Well, the obvious of them would be the Roman soldiers who put him through all this, right? Who scourged him, who nailed him to the cross, who mocked him, who tortured him. And even as he's praying for them, what are they doing? They're gambling for his clothes, right? Who's going to get his garment? He could have been talking about the Jewish religious leaders, the ones who paid Judas 30 pieces of silver to betray him in a private setting and arranged a deal. And somehow they convinced him to go through with it. Maybe it was them that he had in mind. Could have been Pilate or Herod. He could have been talking about them. They were weak political leaders and found themselves manipulated by the people around, didn't they? Trying to save their own political skins. Maybe it was a crowd that turned so fickle after welcoming him one day, and then later, 5 days later, they're saying, crucify him. Maybe he's asking the Father to forgive them, but we know there's plenty of blame to go around, wasn't there? Plenty of people that were involved in this. C.S. Lewis said, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Not always easy, is it, sometimes? We see people out there and thinking, how could you have done that? Man, that really made me mad. But he's saying you need to forgive him. Forgive those people. He forgave us of a lot of things. He knew all the things we're going to do before we did them. And as he's dying on the cross, he would have known all that, but still chose to die for us anyway. So next time you don't feel like forgiving somebody, maybe you think about the cross. Don't just wear it as a necklace. Wear it as a reminder. It's empty, right? He's not on the cross anymore. That's why when you see the cross, sometimes the Christ on it, I'm like, that's not true. He's not on there anymore. He's gone. So we don't depict a cross with Christ hanging on it because he's not there. We depict it as being empty because he's off the cross. He paid the price. Next thing he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And most of this is coming from Luke chapter 23. So this is usually translated as the call of salvation. According to the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was crucified between two thieves named Dismas and Gestas. And I don't know which one's which. I didn't find that information. But only one of those guys supported Jesus' innocence and asked him to remember him when he came into his kingdom. And he said to him, verily I say to thee, today you'll be with me in paradise. Which seems to indicate a direct voyage, doesn't it? Today you'll be with me in paradise. Not like you're going to wait for me, you're going to be in a certain place for a long time. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, the verse shows that Jesus forgave the guy and offered him a place in heaven. But he was a thief, wasn't he? He's a thief, he's a criminal, he's on the cross, he's dying. And even at that time, Christ was able to forgive him and offer him salvation. So we don't know sometimes with our loved ones, we wonder, did they make it to heaven? We don't know. There can be deathbed, I think, conversions where they've realized they need Christ. We're only going to know that when we get to heaven, though. We can't make those judgments, whether that person was saved or not saved. It's between them and God, but it can happen anytime in their life. It can happen as a child, midway through, as an adult, in the hospital, wherever. We're only going to know when we get to heaven. But the thing was, Jesus recognized the guy repented and wiped his slate clean, even when he was on the cross. Today you'll be with me in paradise. You know, sins don't have an order. He doesn't list this as sin number one, sin number two, sin number three. They're all in the same category. That's a sin. If it's a sin, it's a sin. Whether it's a big sin, we think, or a small sin, we think, we still need to ask God to forgive us of those sins so we can have a right relationship with him. He looks at them all the same. They're all filthy, right? If your kids are out playing in the mud and they all come in, they're all dirty. You can't say, well, you're cleaner than you are. Well, you all have mud on you. Same for us. You've all got sin on you. You need salvation, repent, and claim him as Lord. Next thing he said, this is in John 19. When he therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her under his own home. So you think about that statement. It speaks of a relationship, doesn't it? That he's entrusting his mother to the care of his beloved disciple. He's basically saying, take care of my mom. Right? You guys are related now. And he addresses her as woman in John 2:4. And it sounds like kind of almost like disrespectful to us, but the Greek term, or the word in Greek, is a term for respect and tenderness. I would say it'd be like mommy, mom, mother, one of those kind of things, not just woman, but it means different in that language than it does to us. So even during his most trying times, he's more concerned about others than himself. Concerned about his mom. I need somebody to take care of my mom when I'm not here. And he puts that in the care of his disciple John. So the question we ask is, do we model that? Are we a lot of times more concerned about others or more concerned about ourselves? Go through a McDonald's drive-thru sometime and ask yourself, am I more concerned that person in front of me is getting their order, or am I concerned about, hurry up, I want to get my order? Right? That kind of puts it in a little perspective, doesn't it? Think about those kind of things. What's the other person going through? What are they dealing with? Drives me crazy, traffic, because of the people running red lights all the time. I really got to think about there, what are they going through? Besides, are they just being selfish? Are they just putting people in danger because they're thinking of just themselves and not somebody else? Could they have stopped? Did they have plenty of time to stop? They did, but they decided not to stop. You know, we see a lot of self-centeredness going on, a lot of selfishness from people not thinking about somebody else, just about themselves. You want to see it happen again? Wait till Christmas comes and they have these sales. Go to Target when there's only so many items and there's people that squish and rush through the doors to try to grab the last baby doll or whatever they're trying to grab. Right? You don't care about anybody else. Get out of my way. I got to get this thing. Wouldn't it be better if people were just a lot more nice? I don't know if they used to be more nice or I just thought they were more nice, but it seems like people used to be nicer, more respectful than they are now to other people. Open the door for you, let you go first, after you, whatever, those kind of things. Polite, and even if you had a disagreement, it wasn't a yelling and screaming match. It was a discussion. A lot of times we don't have discussions today, do we? We have your opinion and then the other one's wrong. Right? That's what we have today. It's not a discussion about, well, let's just talk about this. Let's see what you think. That doesn't happen. So Jesus was concerned about his mother. Even though he was suffering in pain, he was concerned about her. The question is, can we look past ourselves and love others as Christ loves them? Doesn't say it's going to be easy, right? Because we're people, we make mistakes. We do things wrong. We have different opinions, but we still need to love one another, care for each other, look out for each other, especially in times when things are sad or things are gone bad. You know, especially when you lose a loved one or somebody's sick in the hospital or you're facing a surgery. We give them a ring and say, hey, you doing all right? You need something? Can I help you out? Some of the hardest times when you lose somebody is the weeks after. During the funeral, those things, there's people around doing all this stuff, and you're busy, but the weeks after, you're by yourself a lot of times. Those are times you need to contact people, say, you doing okay? Do you need anything? Those kind of things. Mark 15, 34, Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Mark 15 says, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted as, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is the only saying that appears in more than one gospel. It's a quote from Psalm 22:1. In both accounts, the words are spoken by Jesus. They've been transliterated from Aramaic to Greek. There's a slight difference in the two versions. The difference, probably due to the dialect, like warsh and wash. My neighbor used to say sofa all the time and couch. We'd say couch, he'd say sofa. I'm like, what's a sofa? Right? She'd always wash her clothes too. We were around him long enough, we knew what it meant. But it's interesting though, you go to different countries and you hear the same word that means something else. We went to Australia and there was a, what's it called? A waste bag, we call it now, but it was called a fanny pack at that time. And that was a horrible thing to say in Australia, so we had to always say, you know, your waste bag or your waste belt or whatever it was, you know, carry your stuff in. But words in different countries mean different things. And sometimes we interpret them, they mean something a little bit different. It says Matthew's version seems to have been more influenced by Hebrew, whereas Mark is perhaps more colloquial. In the verses immediately following this saying in the gospel, the onlookers who hear Jesus cry mistakenly believe he's calling for help from Elijah. They think he's calling Elijah to help him. Some people think it means Jesus saying the Father abandoned him. Another one thinks it says that Jesus, when he took upon the sins of humanity, God turned away from the Son because he couldn't look at sin. Other theologians understand the cry as one who was truly human, who felt forsaken. So he felt alone at that time. Put to death by his foes, deserted by his friends. Maybe he felt deserted by God. We don't know what the true feeling was, but we know that he was asking. There was a division that seemed like happened there. Others say that whole Psalm in 22 shows that he might show him that he did it so he can show himself to be the very being who the words refer to, so the Jewish scribes and people might examine and see the cause of why he would not descend from the cross. Because the Psalm showed that it was his appointed time that he should suffer for these things. So they could see that he was the Messiah. He had to suffer. He's the only one that could have paid the price. So they're interpreting Psalm 22 for the religious leaders and scribes. The reason he didn't come down was he's saying, I'm the one who's got to pay this price. It's me. I'm here for that. You ever feel at times that God deserted you? God, where are you? Well, you can be assured that he never deserts us and never forsakes us, never leaves us. Even when we feel far away, God's still there. Sometimes we think, God, where are you? Maybe he's asking you the same question. I'm here, where are you? Where did you go? After this, Jesus, knowing all things were now accomplished, John 19, 28, he said, I thirst. And only John records this of all the four Gospels. He offered Jesus a drink of sour wine. In Mark and Matthew, a sponge soaked with wine is lifted to Jesus on a reed. And John says the same, but states that the sponge was affixed to a hyssop branch. This may have been intended to be symbolically significant, because a hyssop branch, often mentioned in the Old Testament context, is the use of sacrificial blood for ritual purification. It means he was giving his blood to purify us. The statement of Jesus is interpreted by John as fulfilling the prophecy in Psalm 69, 21, which says, in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Hence the quote from John's gospel includes, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So Jesus was doing things to fulfill scripture, right? So they could look back and say, yes, he did that, he did that, he did that. Jesus did what he came here to do, proclaim the gospel, save people from their sins, and go through his sacrificial death. That'd be hard if you knew what was going to happen, wouldn't it? You know you're going to go through this, but yet he had to go through it. You know, we all have a God-given purpose to proclaim Christ. Tell as many people as we can that he's the answer. Sometimes it might be hard, right? Seems the hardest with family, doesn't it? Try to share with family and it's like, oh yeah, right. Yeah, I know you. Remember, we grew up together. They're like, yeah, but I'm not the same as I was before. I'm changed. Hopefully they can see that. John 19:30, when he received the vinegar, he said, it's finished. I usually interpret this as the announcement to the end of his earthly life, anticipation for the resurrection. The Greek word, it is finished, tetelestai, has been translated as, it is consummated, or the debt is paid in full. Wouldn't that be neat to hear? Your bank calls you up. Your car payment is paid in full. Your house is paid in full. That $100,000 medical bill, it's paid in full. That'd be great to hear that. That's basically what he's saying. Your debt is paid in full. It's finished. So when you're going through a rough time or a fight for your life, how wonderful to hear it's finished. The thing is, you know what the end is going to be. You know where you're going if something happens. It's paid in full. When it's impossible for us to ever repay, he paid it. You ever been in a situation where you couldn't pay something? Somebody came in and helped you? Whether your parents or friends or family or whatever it was? You knew you could never pay it back, but they paid it. And that's what Jesus did for us. In his last saying, he says, Father, into thy hands I commend or commit my spirit. Daily verse says, at that time heaven was hushed, time stood still, as the only begotten Son of God, the perfect man, paid the price for the sin of the world. Gracious forgiveness is extended to whoever will receive it and trust in Him. The precious promise of paradise has been given to lost sinners, and loving provision has been extended to the woman who bore Him. He carried the weight of the world on His heart, and He became sin for mankind. Paid the price, made us righteous because we couldn't do that ourselves. And every facet of the law was fulfilled, every prophecy accomplished. Price of sin had been paid, communion with the Father is restored. He finished His work, He drank the bitter cup, and He entrusted His Spirit into the hands of the Father. Kind of like when your kids come home, isn't it? Ever have any kids that have been out there and hadn't always done the right thing? And then they finally come home? And you have that feeling? Thing is, He breathed His last breath willingly. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? He willingly said, "It's finished. I'm done." He left His bruised body behind, His tabernacle for a season, in a buried tomb that He borrowed, or a borrowed tomb. But forgiveness extends to us, and everybody receives Him. He provides all we need, doesn't He? Doesn't always provide all we want. There's a difference, isn't there? We want a lot of things. We don't need a lot of things. The main thing we need is Him, and salvation in Him is what we need. And He wants us to have a deep relationship with Him. How does that come? By checking our relationship all the time. Is something right or wrong between Him and I? Are we communicating? Am I talking to Him or not talking to Him? There's security and comfort as we commit ourselves to the Lord. But what would Ernie say? Do it today before it's too late. This is what he would say. Do it today. Before you leave this building. Before you walk out that door. That's what he would say, wouldn't he? One more thing. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for being with us. Thank you, Lord, for all the examples that you've given us for Ernie. Lord, that we think of him and all the others that have been here and that are here, that we see as knowing you as saints in the Lord, that gave us wisdom, gave us wise thoughts, shared with us things, Lord, that we can learn from, we can remember, we can even quote, that bring to mind, Lord, your relationship with them and that deep relationship they had with you. Thank you for what you said on the cross, that we can learn from those things, forgive others, Lord. To share, to know that we have a place in heaven with you, that you offer us salvation, that you died for us. Father, help us to live for you each day, to be the best witnesses we can be. We mess up. Help us to ask for forgiveness and move on. So we just give you the praise in your name. Amen.
Would you stand with me this morning? Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. This week and depend on him, will you? He'll come through. Amen. Thank you.